Was it the day after that you and me, I both sat down and thought we must try and have a fund to recognise what's happened?
Yes. Yeah, there was...
I think it happened out of our control to start with, because probably within that timescale,
yeah, the day after, people were coming in with cheques and saying, you know, whatever fund is set up, we want this to go to it. We hadn't thought of that, obviously, at that stage, but that became a factor then. So I took that on because I had staff on the supply side, supply officer of music. I had a very efficient warrant officer, and I had a hugely efficient musician who was a computer whizzo. Bear in mind, it's 1989, and we weren't all so computer literate. So I asked them to set up some database where we could manage this. I didn't think it would be a very big thing, but... we had to do something. And I also contacted the manager of Barclays Bank at Deal, who was a chap called Mike Blee, who was also an honorary member of the officers' mess. We knew Mike very well, and asked him to set up a bank account where we could put this money. As the days and weeks unfold, of course, money came in from all over the world, which was a huge administrative thing to manage, because it all came in various forms, in various currencies, in small denominations and quite large checks, and organisations even doing fundraising. So it amounted to 1.2 something million pounds in something like 6 months, you know. It was very nice that we had donations from orchestras. I think the musical community was horrified, because everyone accepts we were Royal Marines, we were in a Royal Marines uniform, but at the same time everyone accepts we weren't commandos, we weren't combatants, there was nothing of a military nature going on at Deal, it was a music school. And I think this was central to people's horror, really. You know, the bar had been raised a huge amount by making a music school a target for terrorism. And, you know, that opened, you know, the gates for, I don't know, it was not a legitimate military target for military people, and it was sickening to that extent.
So. And when you say around the world, are we talking about places like the United States?
Yeah, I can't remember specifics of the United States, certainly Australia, New Zealand, Canada, this country. I remember the Birmingham Symphony Orchestra had a leader of the second violins was an ex-Royal Marines musician, Jerry Ballard. We got together a fund and sent that in. There were lots of individual efforts of people, like the commandos running from one place to another to raise funds.
This fundraising, you say, went on for months. And how was it dispersed?
Well, we quickly realised that it was going to be quite a big deal. So the Commandant General set up a board of trustees, and I acted as secretary of the fund. And I had a team working for me who would make recommendations to the trustees on how the fund should be dispersed. And we, after a period of thinking, made a point system where we tried to say if, for instance, someone was killed, it was worth so many points as a ratio against someone who was very seriously injured, which may have been worth so many points, as opposed to somebody who had lost a son, would have been so many points, and so on, and children as well. Of those, there were 11 children affected, and we set up trust funds for them, which attracted a certain amount of points. And the reason for that was, so when we had a final sum of money, this point system could be applied to any sum. It was just a proportion of the total sum. And it included people who had been very superficially injured as well, and it included provision for long-term psychological damage, which we know as PST now, and a few other contingencies, but not much. Nothing was spent on administration. It was purely dispersed to those affected in a negative way by this bombing. So that's what we did, and we, at each key stage, which was about three or four stages throughout this process, we took recommendations from the trustees at a meeting in London and said, we believe we should disperse money out of the pot we have so far in this way, proportionately down, and that was done. We set up trust funds for the children with the Royal Naval Children's Trust in Portsmouth, and we consulted with families, obviously, as to what they wanted doing with certain aspects of ideas that were put forward and so on. So there was a very vigorous activity to make sure we both adhered to families' wishes and also tried to treat everybody fairly. It's very difficult, obviously, if you lose a husband, but it's incredibly difficult, as we would recognise at our age, if you lose a son, and you've known your son for 25 years, 30 years, where someone may have been married or in a relationship for 6 months. So how you equate these things, I just don't know. It is a difficult job. And obviously, all the children were very young children at that time, because most of the guys killed were very young. They would have young families. So again, it wouldn't be until the children grew to be quite a bit older that they would realize what had happened. So it was quite a complex process, but I think it worked very well. And the other thing that drove us to do this was we were aware that the South Atlantic Fund, for instance, was a rolling problem, because even in 1989, 1990, the South Atlantic Fund still hadn't been dispersed, resolved. We were also aware that the Herald of Free Enterprise Fund had been rolling along with criticisms and difficulties, and not knowing what to do with the money at the end of the process, and still money left there. So we didn't want to be in that. We wanted to go through this process, collect all the monies in, and close the fund within 18 months. And that's what we did. So within 18 months, the fund was closed, never to be touched again. All the money was dispersed to the families, the dependents of the families and the children. No administrative costs, and a small amount was kept back in the Royal Marines Band Service Welfare Fund and the Royal Marines Welfare Fund to identify problems further down.
And did this by and large meet with the approval of all those who were going to benefit?
Yes, by and large. I think some people were... If you say £1.2 million and 11 people are killed, automatically you make an equation, 11 into £1.2 million. So that clearly is not the case. By the time families are properly looked after in this point system, and children and, say, other factors, the sums of money were not fantastically huge, because so many people were affected, so many people were injured and so on. But, you know, there was never a complaint from any of the families. In fact, I think it attracted universal praise, actually, for the way it was handled.